Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Hidden Mysteries. And I'm Mimi, one of your co-hosts for this evening. And joining me is Reverend Maria DeAndrea. And this is August 5th, 2015, coming to you from the New York area. And we're here the first Wednesday of every month as we explore an array of unusual topics and endeavor to seek out answers to mysterious concepts and age-old legends. Reverend Maria is an internationally known psychic from Budapest, Hungary, and a European shaman, and she is a published author of various books, a spiritual life coach, metaphysical practitioner, and a public speaker. And she's traveled to many places to speak on spiritual, psychic, and paranormal topics. You can check out Maria's website at mariadeandrea.com or use the links below our show's description here on Blog Talk Radio. And you could also get in touch with Maria at 631-559-1248 for any information about her services. You can also go to mquestmedia.com to learn about other segments that I produce, like MQuest TV, as well as Hidden Mysteries and articles and other interviews that I do with other people, people in the paranormal field. And if anybody would like to send us a question in our chat room, it's open and available. And if anybody has a question or perhaps you have maybe a comment on today's topic, just send it on over and I will give it to Maria, in order to respond to it. So, Maria, how are you today?
Wonderful. It's been so wonderful. Side, we're always happy. Or at least we're trying to be. We always look at the positive.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you a quick question about the blue moon, since we had one this past week, and I wanted to find out what's the legend behind it, and what are some of its effects on people, since it seems like a double trouble type of situation, since we get a full moon twice in one month,
I know, it really doesn't come up that often. It's not something constant, mm-hmm. And it's actually funny because originally when you look at the blue moon, first of all, some people actually thought it was blue, which of course it isn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
But old blue moon means that it comes up twice as a full moon during the same month, where normally it's just one. So it's kind of like an extra day, an extra full moon. Okay.
Right.
And it actually started somewhere with Old Middle English. And the word actually started, first it started out as believe, because they were looking at the positive of the moon being twice. And then they changed it to betrayal, because apparently somebody thought it flipped to the negative side. So really that's where the word blue comes from. But basically all that really means is that at a time of a blue moon, emotions are a little bit crazy. So everybody's more emotional. On the positive side, on the belief side, on the positive side, they can be more emotional where they realize they really love somebody more than they thought. They're happier with their family. They're having a good or a better day at their job. Okay, so that's the positive. Right? Well, I know. That's funny, having a great day on the job, right?
Yeah, I have to laugh at that one, but go ahead.
I know. I couldn't think of another example, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, nobody's going to believe that one.
Yeah, really.
But on the other side of that, is that it brings out the negative emotions, which means arguments, turmoil, disagreements. So all it means is that everybody's much more emotional than their norm. It just means it can really go either way.
Hmm.
So a lot of times when you see a blue moon, people go, oh, no.
Well, I just see a moon.
What chaos is it bringing now emotionally?
Yeah, well, anytime I see a full moon, I go, oh, no, anyway. So, one way or the other, double trouble.
Well, a lot of physicians will not perform surgery during a full moon.
I know.
Because they're doing surgery or anything along that line, even if you go to a dentist, you will bleed more than you normally do. That doesn't mean it's, life-threatening. But I know if I'm going to a dentist, I'm already working on,
Bring a lot of
not that they're not great people. Just my reaction is, uh-oh, so I'm not going through at a time of a full moon because I know I'm going to bleed a little bit more than I would have. So it's like, hmm.
Right, you just think twice about it.
Exactly.
Well, you know, the topic that we have for tonight is about psychic readings and how we are able to, you know, maybe find a proper psychic reader, you know what to avoid and such. You know, over the centuries, the reputation and understanding of what a psychic truly is has really undergone incredible changes along the way. Like in ancient times, they came under different names such as mystics and oracles, seers and prophets. And though they are widely accepted today on reality shows and their work with the police, their reputation had often placed them in a great deal of danger. But what really does a psychic do? You know, how do we know who to trust, where to go, how to choose the right psychic reader? You know, and tonight, you know, I wanted to explore that very topic and maybe offer our listeners tips on how we can choose the right one. So let's start with the basics, Maria. According to some readings by Edgar Cayce on this very topic, he said that the psychic is of the soul and operates through the faculties of perception, whether hearing, seeing, feeling, or any portions of the sensory system. And yet in another of his readings in regards to this, he said that psychic meaning the expression to the material world of the hidden sense of the soul and spirit forces manifested through the material plane. So, Maria, what can you add to that?
Well, first of all, because this is mainly what I do for a living on the psychic level,
exactly.
Among other things.
I look at it as
a psychic really obtains information about the future, the past, or the present through the use of, you know, extrasensory perception. It's very natural. It's an extension of the basic human sense of sight, sound, touch, taste, and instinct. So when we're doing a psychic reading, we're not tuning into the person as people think. I'm not looking at somebody and trying to read their mind, which is telepathy. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm tuning into my source. Some people call it God. Some people call it divine power. Whatever the label is, it is the same source. And it's tuning into that source to get information for the person or about the person. So we're not getting it directly from them, because then what we're doing is telling them what they want to hear, not what it is.
Right. So what can
we get it in a number of different ways.
Well, let me ask you, what can we expect during a psychic reading, and how does it really work, and why should we get a reading, really? You know, what does it come down to, you know?
Okay. Easy questions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Basically, the way a psychic reading works is, like I said, you're tuning into a source, okay? So as an example, if we're tuning into a source intuitively, psychically, to get information for the person, okay, it's really not our information. It's like we're getting ourselves out of the way to let information flow through. So the best thing you can say about yourself, if you're the best psychic on the planet, is you're okay as a tool. Big deal. So if you had an ego, that'll kill it.
Yeah. Right.
Because none of the information is us. I've worked with, you know, the police and, you know, the government. And really, logically, I would have had no way whatsoever to know what they're talking about, which probably is a good thing. So what happens in a reading, as an example, say I was doing a reading for somebody, and if I'm telling them something positive, okay, if they leave their life alone, that's exactly how it's coming up. It's their natural path of life. If I'm telling somebody something negative, it will always tell you in a reading what caused the negative situation. And it will always tell you in a reading what the person can do themselves, not the person reading them, not the psychic. It will always tell the person what they can do themselves to avoid it, change it, improve it, to make it better in some way. The whole point really is to fix and avoid and to improve. So it comes down to their free will. If they choose with their free will to work on the situation to avoid it or improve it, they can definitely make it better. If they choose to leave it alone, then it's coming up exactly the way it's said in the reading. And then we miss the whole point of doing that. If a right. negative situation is coming up where the person has no control at all to avoid or change it or to make it better in any way, we would never get that in a reading because there's no point. So I'm always saying it's not like somebody upstairs going, ha-ha, it won't work.
Right, right.
So in a reading, what you get is situations where if you know ahead of time, okay, and this is the reason you really go for a reading, if you know ahead of time, then you can make better decisions because the whole point is free will. A reading is meant as a guide. They're not supposed to tell you what to do. Okay, so it's right. meant to improve your life. Sometimes people go because they want to be connected to somebody they love that passed away, and that could be a person. It could honestly be a pet, you know, whatever the situation happens to be, you know, and then, you know, we can tune into that also, you know, or
right,
health
right.
or whatever subject comes up.
Right. So, you know, in what you're really saying is that our path is not fixed and that we can change it at will.
Exactly. You know, what
right.
it's telling you is your natural path without you making a conscious change, which if
right.
it's positive, it's fine. If it isn't, the point is to avoid and fix.
Right, right. So, you know, one should, you know, some of the points that I just wanted to just like, you know, let people know because I find, you know, after being in this field and researching and looking at and having had readings of my own over the years, mm-hmm. you know, some of the points that I want to let people know is that, you know, one should always, first of all, one should always participate in the reading. You know, don't just like, you know, hear something that the psychic tells you and then just, you know, like, and then just walk out, ask questions, you know, don't just go there to hear about, you know, whether you're going to be married or something like that. You want to get the meat and the potatoes and to be able to get something that will help you in the long run. You know, just because if somebody tells you, oh, yeah, I'm going to be married in two, you know, you're going to be married in 2 years. But what about how am I on the right path? You know, am I doing the right thing in order to meet this person? You know, how is this going to come about? You know, you have to ask questions in order to really put this in order to implement this, because your life just isn't about just, you know, running off. You have to be able to make use of the information, and if you have questions or you know there's a hole in the information, think about it. Say, you know this is a question that I have about this situation, you know, let me get some further information. So think about, you know, that as one of the tips. And just, you know, just as an aside, you know, there is no time or space in regards to how a psychic gets information. So the information that you would be getting can happen anywhere along that timeline. You know, I know, you know, lots of people have gotten readings, you know, and they're, you know, they're wondering, okay, you know, when is this going to happen? You know, this the psychic is not going to be working at a fixed place the way we think in our reality. They're, you know, they work on a totally different, you know, level of understanding and getting the information to their clients. So realize that they're not going to be thinking in terms of, you know, past, present, and future. It's going to be coming from any point along that timeline. So, you know, Maria, what are some of the pitfalls that someone might encounter when, you know, if they go to an untrustworthy psychic? I mean, what should they be looking for or looking out
for? One thing, if you go to anybody and they say to you that this is, you know, basically written in stone, they already mm-hmm. don't know what they're doing, because the point mm-hmm. of it is to guide you and free will. I'm always going free will.
mm-hmm.
And
right.
also the other thing is, in a reading what comes up is, well, two things. First of all, in the reading, what comes up is what you can do yourself, because it is your life. So if
right.
you go to somebody and they say, you know, there's something really negative coming up, and to avoid it, you know, you pay them whatever it is and they can fix it for you, that's a scam.
Yep.
Okay? Because basically what they're supposed to tell you is what you can do yourself to improve or avoid the situation, and then it's always your choice. And what they'll do is they will scare you by telling you something's really, really, really bad. And they scare you into going, oh, my God, I really have to, you know, pay this person so that they can improve my life. Okay. In fact, one of the ladies that I was talking to, one of my students said she went to somebody and they told her that she was going to have extremely, extremely bad health problems. And to avoid it, they had to come to her, you know, and they'll tell you they'll burn candles or whatever. Now, spiritually, we do burn candles and things, but that is a different field. It should never come up in a psychic reading unless they're telling you that you can burn them. Okay, I actually had, this is a really good story to give you an idea. I was working at an event with this woman, and, you know, what she did was she told me that she went to someone and was told that she would have a horrible, horrible life. And for $200, and by the way, the reader charged her, I think, like $20 for the reading, okay? So she said, you know, for two, she was going to have a horrible life, and for $200, she could fix that for her. Okay, so, you know, she told her how to fold the $200 in certain ways. So she came back, gave the woman $200, right? And then she was supposed to come again. And when she went back, she was told that her situation was so bad that she would have to come up with $19,000 to make it all go away. So when she came to me, you know, like we said, we were working at the same place. Her question to me wasn't what to do about the situation. Her question was, how does she come up with that kind of money? So what happened was she was really very worried because sometimes when people go to psychics, it's as a last resort at the time. And she was thinking, oh, my God, all these, she's going to have a horrible, horrible life. And even though I explained to her that that is not a real psychic reading, that it's a scam, she was so afraid of this woman and that it might turn into a horrid life, that when she walked away from me, she was still trying to figure out how to put the 19,000 together, which is really scary. You know, it's like I said before, a psychic is mainly a tool. You have to get yourself out of the way so that you can help your client to get to the information. You're not supposed to be doing that. You know, so they use scare tactics. The other part is when you're looking at somebody that's doing readings, another way that you can tell if somebody is real or not is they should never ask you questions in the beginning. You know, well, you know, because we've all worked, we've worked together for so long. I never let anybody ask a question. I do the reading, and at the end, they can put in whatever questions they want about anything. It's unlimited because it's not my information. I didn't work on it. I didn't study it. I didn't do charts. So if they're asking a lot of questions in the beginning, that should not happen. They should be able to tune in for the person for direct information. So they shouldn't be asked anything in the beginning. And then at the end, they can ask whatever they want. And the reason for the questions is this. What you get in a psychic reading is what you need to know, not what you want to know. So I had a gentleman, I was talking to you about it the other day, I think. I had a gentleman years ago, and he tells everybody, so I'm not breaking confidence, his whole reading was about how he owned a company and how he was going to go bankrupt with a lot of details so that he could avoid it. Okay? The only thing he wanted to know in the reading was about his girlfriend. Now, his girlfriend didn't come up in the reading automatically because for some reason the universe thought food might be more important. So we put the girlfriend in with questions at the end. So that's why I said what comes up in the reading a lot of times is what you need to know, not always what you want to know. So between the direct information and the questions, you really do cover everything.
Right, right, yeah. So, you know, how sure are we that what a psychic sees is what will actually take place, though? You know, I mean, how does that work?
Okay, well, first of all, one of the things you want to be aware of is this, because like I said, we're not doing telepathy, okay? But, and you do have a lot of charlatans doing readings, what we call cold readings. So first of all, if somebody's telling you, in a cold reading what they do is they tell you things that are generic. So as an example, if somebody's in high school, most of what they're going to tell them is about their boyfriend, girlfriend, parties, school, okay? It doesn't mean that's true for that person. It's too generic.
Right, right.
Okay? So when you're doing a reading, you really want to be much more aware of what's going on around you, you know, and in the reading, does it resonate with you? Does it make sense? Because sometimes in a reading, I will say things to people that make absolutely no sense to me. And you know me, I've actually said things to people where before I said it, mentally I went, oh, this is the stupidest thing I'm ever going to have to say. But it makes sense to the person. So yeah. If somebody's doing a reading and really you don't connect on any level, nothing is making sense to you. It's too generic, okay? Then you have to question if that person is for you. Now, if you're tuned in, if you're working with somebody that's real, okay, and it doesn't mean they have to be professional. It could be your best friend who does it on the side. But if you're doing a reading with somebody that's genuine, okay, they will come up with things that you did not tell them that actually make sense in your life that they wouldn't know in any way. You know, it's not like you went to their house and you went, oh, okay, this is their personality, this is what they like, this is what they don't like. You know, it's not like you looked at somebody and went, let me think, they're frowning so their life isn't going well. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just, you know, not in a good mood for 2 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but a lot of times you have to look at it. If somebody in a reading tells you, as an example, that you're very, very detailed oriented and you're very good with, setting up organizations or organizing, there's no way for them to know that if they don't know you. So you kind of have to go, okay, that sounds exactly like me. So this person's on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you pay attention to how events unfold. So give you a better jump for the next time.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, I had an experience years ago when I was, you know, learning to tap into my own psychic abilities, and somebody at work had asked me to do a reading for her, you know, and I didn't know her very well because she never really talked to me personally about her life. So, you know, so I sat for a little while, and, you know, all of a sudden I was getting like these initials, RCA, you know, and I didn't know what or the reason for it. I knew that she was writing, and I said, but, you know, RCA to me back in those days, at the very least was a record company, you know, so I didn't know. But so all I did was, so I just like, I you know, put it down in my notes, you know, and I was getting a few other things. So I went back to her and I told her, I said, you know, for some reason, I'm getting these initials RCA. I don't know why. You know, for some reason, I'm getting it in regards to your writing. And she says, you know, that's strange you should say that, because I am dealing with somebody at the company RCA, and they're interested in some script that I'm writing. I had no idea that even RCA was even in that venue, you know, where they did, you know, TV shows or anything of that nature or movies. So it was just like, it was such a strong confirmation to me that I was actually getting something, because I didn't make the connection because I didn't know RCA did that, you know?
Yeah, well, what happens is that you're getting direct information because you didn't analyze it. It didn't necessarily make logical sense to you. And I really believe that everybody's intuitive. I always look at it as, everybody is intuitive on some level, because I really do believe that it's a survival instinct. And that's like, you know, when I teach classes or I lecture, I always tell people, everybody has the ability. The difference is, and I always say it like this because I couldn't think of a better example. So I always say it on the level of, it's like, some people are artists, but everybody can draw, except me. I can't draw a figure. It's funny, I have all those books out. You would think I could draw. Nope. You have to know where you're good and where you're not. So what happens is everybody's intuitive. And one of the ways that people can notice that is, as an example, we've all had the experience where you're walking down the street and you feel like there's somebody walking behind you, you know, after a while. And if you turn around, it really is. And the reason that it triggers is because they're walking behind you longer time-wise than is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because in society, we're all walking into different places, turning down different streets, you know. But if somebody's literally walking behind you for a longer period of time, it will trigger subconsciously your survival instinct, and you're going to turn around. Now, if you're somewhere like, you know, Manhattan, it's not going to make a difference. Everybody's walking behind you. But if something is threatening, happening. Yes. Your subconscious will tune into it. And intuitively, from wherever you consider your source, it'll trigger the urge to, you know, actually to run, but it will trigger the urge to turn around or to go and step into a doorway or a store or something until the person passes. So we do all have that.
Well, let me ask you, in terms of tapping into your psychic abilities, how can we do that? Because, I mean, you know, we're all psychic because we're all spirit. You know, we come from
exactly.
that realm. It's a natural state of who we are. Some of us are just use our abilities a lot more, you know, and some a lot less. And that's the reason why, you know, for instance, you use it constantly. So it's like a precise tool. So how can somebody who doesn't do it as much as you do and wants to really, you know, get their psychic abilities up to par, what can they do in order to do that?
Right. Well, for one thing, it's part of nature. So, like you said, also that we all have that. Okay. So to tap into your source, and again, it doesn't matter if you look at divine power, Mother Earth, Father Sky, God, but you have to relate it to a word that connects to you. Otherwise, it's not going to work the same way. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what you're going to do is you're going to learn to listen to your own feelings. And the more you do that, the more often it comes in. So as an example, the way you would tune in is every now and then focus on saying that you mentally or verbally say that you want definite information that is accurate and positive, okay, on anything where you need insight, okay, for positive information. And what happens is if you keep saying that or something equivalent on and off, what you'll notice is you can be in a store and all of a sudden you can be on the supermarket line or the bank line and notice that you feel good about the person standing in front of you, or it feels off, you know, it doesn't feel like a nice person. Now, you haven't talked to them, so you really wouldn't know logically. Or I know everybody's experience where you're driving and all of a sudden you have an urge to go down a different street, or walking, you have an urge to go in a different direction. It's because you're being guided. Now, the more you listen to it and the more you move on it, the more frequent it will actually become. So what you can do is increase the frequency just by paying attention and acknowledging it. So if you can't move on it, because sometimes with society and jobs and other people around us, we can't. If you mentally say to yourself, I know this is accurate, I just can't move on it, to the universe, which is very exact, it's the same as if you would have used it, and it will still pick up the frequency.
Hmm.
You just have to get into the habit of trusting it.
Interesting.
Oh, and by the way, the way you can tell the difference is if it's intuitive psychic information, where it's direct and accurate, all of a sudden you would get a thought without prior analyzing it. So if you see somebody, as an example, down the street, and you know that this is somebody, you're with a friend and you're going to be meeting them soon, if you get a good feeling, okay, it's telling you you're going to have a good connection to this person, not whether they're good or bad necessarily, okay? Mm-hmm. But the reason you would get the feeling is you looked at them and you just know it feels right. It wouldn't be because you said, you know, I like the way the person looks, I like their clothes, it looks like the way that their attitude seems to be is that it's in sync with me. There was no previous thought. It's like, oh, good person.
Right, right.
But that's how you can tell the difference between intuitive and what you would like or not like.
Right, right. Okay, that's wonderful. I just want to, do you have any last minute closing statements? We're running down to the finish line at this moment.
I just wanted to say this really, really quickly. It's very short, but it was a story. I was on the intuitive level. I was at a dance club, and there was a woman there, and she was telling me she walked off the dance floor, and she said she looked at this guy at the bar, and she told me that all of a sudden she saw his whole face turn into that of a wolf. So she said, basically, the whole head, and she says, and then she just turned back and walked away from him, and she said it really spooked her. She said, well, you know, after that, she knows not to go near this guy. So it's funny because you get the warnings in all different ways.
Absolutely.
But I do suggest to people that when you call up to make an appointment, as an example for reading, you want to be aware. It doesn't matter if you're doing that in person or if it's over the phone. It shouldn't matter because they're not doing body language. They don't need to see if you're nodding and agreeing or disagreeing. They should be able to do it anywhere. It should be a preference, not that they can only do it if you show up. Okay, so it kind of gives you a little bit of a jump. Okay, and just pay attention to your very first feeling,